Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us. We do this each day, 11 o'clock, the live program, 3 o'clock, the replay podcast available on the SoundCloud and also Apple Podcast. And, of course, we talk lots of IU basketball, IU athletics, and Southern Indiana sports as well. And it's a big week for everything. IU basketball, obviously, with two games. I can't stress this enough, and this is pretty much, I think, common sense, but Northwestern at home, a game tomorrow night that Indiana just absolutely has to win when it's a game tucked in between a road game at Maryland and a home game with Ohio State. That's coming up. And then Saturday, the Hoosiers back at it at home, of course, against Ohio State. Friday night, big high school game, New Albany and Jeffersonville. In the Skyline Crosstown Showdown, a big one that means a lot to both schools and both big communities here locally. So a great week coming into the year 2020, new year, new decade as well. And we'll jump right into the show today with our show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, they had a look at the updated Big Ten power rankings, and we'll talk about those and tell you where Indiana falls in his latest rankings. And again, a lot of people do rankings and break the conference down. I think that right now, obviously, Indiana is going to be in the back end of that. So we'll tell you where Indiana's at and a little bit more about the layout of the conference, at least according to these power rankings at this point. Also today in this opening segment, Sean East, New Albany graduate, having lots of success up at UMass. We'll tell you his latest success coming up here as well. A girls high school basketball note for one of the better players in the area that's not good coming up here in just a bit as well. And a couple other tidbits to open the segment today. And then later in the show, we'll be joined by Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. I'm really curious to get Greg's thoughts, not just on IU football, from the fact that they lost the bowl game and how the bowl game came to a conclusion down in Jacksonville, but I'm also curious to get Greg's thoughts on IU football moving forward. And I don't know about you, but just in my daily reading of different, you know, IU sources out there, just tracking things on Twitter and social media, I see a lot more excitement already about Indiana football for next season than probably what I can ever remember. There are a lot of players back, a lot of players saying they're coming back, and obviously some things that will happen have already happened. Good recruiting for next year, and you got to believe that that will carry over into the future as well. So I think that, you know, we talked more IU football this year probably than ever on this show, and I'm sure that's the case for a lot of shows and websites and blogs and people covering IU sports of all kinds. And I have a feeling that this offseason, with how Indiana played this year and how they finished the year, even though it wasn't with the win, we'll continue to talk maybe more IU football than what we ever have. Going to be real interesting to see how Indiana uses this momentum, builds off of this momentum from the Gator Bowl, so close to a win. I think that's what was so frustrating, which would even put maybe things further along. But going to be an interesting offseason to follow Indiana football, and I don't think that we've always been able to say that. So we'll talk that with Greg. I'll get his thoughts on IU basketball. I know that we all think ahead nowadays to is this a tournament team or not, even though there are tons of scenarios, tons of things that can play out, tons of things that can happen and change within the conference. We'll get Greg's thoughts on IU basketball, the bad loss, the blowout loss at Maryland. We'll talk with him about that. We'll talk with him about the importance of this week as well, with two home games and, of course, Northwestern, who's at the bottom of the Big Ten right now, no other way to say it, with Indiana, as they come to town on Wednesday night. And then later in the show, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will join us, and with Mike, we'll turn our attention to the upcoming opponents for Indiana basketball. We'll talk more about Northwestern, some of the matchups and where they're at as a team right now early in conference play, and even look ahead a bit to the Ohio State game and talk some recruiting, basketball recruiting stuff with Mike when he joins us on the program later today. That's a look at the lineup for this Tuesday edition of the program, brought to you by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany and mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch made to order for you. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. Love for you to submit a comment or a question. It might get read on the air. We had a number of comments and questions in yesterday. Some of those got worked into the program. Couple ways to get them to me while we're doing the show. You can tweet me at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills. You can tweet me there. You can follow me also there on Twitter. You can also like the show on Facebook. Just type in the search bar, The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you can follow our page for updates on the show, on guest, on podcast, and there's even a way you can send us a comment, a question, and perhaps it'll get read on the air in today's show or one of our upcoming shows here on the Big X Sports Radio. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in New Albany and Jeffersonville. And a lot to get to today. I said we would start with power rankings from Alex Bozich over at Inside the Hall. Of course, Alex is one of our regular IU experts here on the program. He'll be with us this Thursday and is with us every Thursday on the program. But new rankings out as of Monday, January 6th. Northwestern, number 14 of 14 teams in the conference, 0-3 so far. Only Big Ten team who have yet to record a win in Big Ten play so far. They're the only offer as we enter this second week of January. Nebraska, number 13, your Hoosiers at 1-12. They are number 12 in the power rankings on Inside the Hall. So that kind of is, to me, a blatant underscore, a blatant reminder that this game Wednesday night is very important. Indiana, if you cannot beat the bottom, the cellar, and Indiana could be considered in the cellar, I think, of the conference right now, but if you can't beat them, you're probably setting yourself up for some very frustrating time ahead this year. So really an important game coming up. They're all important when you get to this part of the season with conference play and how tough the Big Ten is, how tough road games are. You get the last ranked team in the power rankings at home. It's a game you got to take care of and you got to win. Also, Purdue number 10 for those wondering, at the very top of the Inside the Hall power poll. Michigan State 4-0, they are 1. Maryland, who Indiana just played and lost to in a big way, they are number 2. Ohio State, who Indiana will play coming up, just a 1-2 record yet in conference play. I mean, it was not too many weeks ago we were talking about Ohio State being a contender maybe for the Final Four with the way they had played and some of the teams they had beat in non-conference play earlier this year. And again, I still think Ohio State will wind up a very good team and obviously an NCAA tournament team with perhaps a chance to do some damage. But they have had a rough start in conference play at 1-2. They are the number 3 team in the power poll. Penn State, much improved this year. They are 2-1 in the conference. They are number 4. Wisconsin, 2-1. They are number 5. Iowa, number 6, and I only bring that up because I got a chance to see Iowa play in their last game just for a bit, and they have some potential as well. So top half of the Big Ten, pretty interesting on how that will shake out. Michigan, a team earlier that we thought was going to be right up there at the top, they might still get there, but they're 1-2 right now. They are number 7 in this latest power poll. And just fun to look at, still very early, still just getting underway, still just filling everything out in the conference. But Indiana, one thing we know for sure about the Big Ten Conference, Indiana has a lot of work cut out for them coming up here this season. The next couple weeks, very big if they're going to claw back and get themselves to a reasonable position in the conference moving forward. Some good news here for Sean East. He was, for the second time this season yesterday, named Atlantic 10 Conference Rookie of the Week. He averaged 22 points and 5.5 assists in two games last week. And again, this is his second award, a second time he's been Rookie of the Week in the A-10 Conference this season. He had a season-high 26 points, was 11 of 21 shooting, 3 of 5 from three-point range, had 3 offensive rebounds, 6 assists at Akron on Monday. That was a loss for UMass, a tough road game, and then came back with a 7 of 22, not as good shooting performance, but 18 points, 5 assists, 4 steals. When UMass opened up the season Sunday afternoon, that was a game at St. Louis. So UMass with a bit of a trip back to the Midwest with Akron and St. Louis here in recent games. So A-10 play underway, as you would expect in most conferences across college basketball, and it's going to be really interesting to see if Sean can continue doing some big things. Lots of leadership as a starting point guard, getting some real opportunity. Even when he doesn't have a great shooting night, even when he doesn't score a lot of points, he's consistent. He always puts something on the board, and he always is up there as the leader or one of the leaders from the assist column for the Minutemen as well. He has had just a tremendous year. He has been, I think, a pleasant surprise to many, but those of us who followed him closely probably not terribly surprised with the success that he's having so far. So congrats to Sean. He joined us, I think, maybe after his first Rookie of the Week award on the program. We had him on for a quick interview from up in UMass, but he gets another one, and if he continues to play this way, no reason why he couldn't be in contention for a Freshman of the Year or Newcomer of the Year type award in the conference at the conclusion of this season. High school basketball, obviously everything we're gearing up for is the Jeff at New Albany game on Friday night, but kind of a sad note with the Jeffersonville girls team. They came into the season with lots of promise. Could have been a really good year. You don't want to take anything away. Still could find success. But they had all the makings to be a girls team in the area that won their sectional and maybe even made a run into the state tournament. Bedford has dominated the girls' side, that girls 4A sectional, and, of course, the Hoosier Hills Conference. And Nan Garcia was a big part of that. It wasn't long ago we were at Jeffersonville High School as Nan sat with me and made her decision live on this program, and she picked Penn State over a number of other high major schools, including Purdue, is where she wanted to play college basketball. And she got the season off to a bang. She had a great start, but here recently in a recent game went down with a knee injury. It took place up at Columbus North in a holiday tournament over the Christmas break, and now after being evaluated in an MRI last week, the results are a torn ACL and a strained MCL, so obviously she's likely going to miss the rest of the season for this Jeffersonville team. They've had some other injuries, key injuries on that team as well this season that have sidelined some of their players, and of course none bigger than Garcia, but a tough break there because she's a fun player to watch, and she was in the midst of a really good senior season. And again, with her on the court, you've always got an opportunity no matter who you're going against. And a big blow for Coach Warren and for the Jeff girls team. And our thoughts to Nan, because she's such a great player, such a good person as well. Been a lot of fun to watch her develop over her career. And I'm sure she'll still have some tremendous moments at Penn State. That's a program that is rebuilding, that needs some help. And I think she can find her way there to some playing time and a good situation, maybe even fairly early on in her career there. But tough blow for Nan Garcia as she will miss the rest of her high school senior season with a torn ACL and, again, a strained MCL as well. Keep in mind, Jeff, New Albany and boys basketball coming up on Friday night. Obviously, always a big one, a rivalry game between the two schools. We'll be talking more about this game, not only on the Hoosier Report, but also our Southern Indiana Tip-Off Show presented by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling, which airs Thursday night and Friday right before the game as well. And also this year, kind of a new thing, Skyline Chili of New Albany, they are proud to present the Crosstown Showdown game between Jeff and New Albany. You can come support your team on support night at Skyline Chili. Jeff's support night is tonight, Tuesday, January 7th from 5 to 8 p.m. And if you're a Bulldog fan, New Albany support night is Thursday, January 9th from 5 to 8 p.m. It's at Skyline Chili. Both of these support nights are 3505 Grantline Road in New Albany. A percentage of sales for both of these support night goes back to the teams and the athletic departments at the school. So if you're a Red Devil fan tonight, you're out and about, you want to support the team and the coaches, you want to get a little bit more engaged in this Friday's big rivalry game, come to Skyline Chili in New Albany, 3505 Grantline Road, and you can stop by and have some delicious Skyline and also support the Jeffersonville Red Devils, their basketball team and athletic program as well. Fun game coming up Friday. I know that I'm out Friday for Charlie Jenkins' funeral, and Joe Glover, the IU Southeast athletic director, is going to fill in for me again on that day. And one of the things he's planning to do in Friday's show is a lot of history, a lot of maybe going back through the series, through some of the great matchups between New Albany and Jeffersonville over the years. So we'll have you covered this week as far as previewing the game and talking to the coaches and getting you all set on the game day as well for this big rivalry, Jeff at New Albany. Obviously, always a fun deal. I've had some questions about tickets. There will be some tickets on sale before the game, so if you want to make sure you get it in advance of Friday, stay tuned for announcements on when you can get tickets. You can call both schools. I know that Jeffersonville will have some tickets for sale as well in addition to New Albany. But a big one coming up, a very important game in our basketball landscape coming up on Friday night, no question about it. We'll have the broadcast live, the Crosstown Showdown presented by Skyline Chili, Jeff at New Albany on Friday night. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins me. We'll also have still ahead in the program, Mike Pegram of Pigs.com, as we get you ready for IU matchups later in the week with Northwestern and Ohio State coming up. Stay with us for that and more. This is a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with us each week, and we're going to talk some IU football to close their season, and of course a loss at the bowl game. IU basketball, Indiana with two important games coming up this week, but I want to visit Greg and his thoughts on the Maryland game here in just a few moments, and more coming up here in this segment presented by Coffee Crossing, who wants to remind everyone about their newest location. It's located in downtown New Albany. They turned their very own bakery at 140 East Main Street into the fifth Coffee Crossing location for you to enjoy. Greg, welcome into the program. Happy New Year. Glad to have you back with us again on Tuesdays here in the year 2020. And lots to get to today, both IU football, IU basketball, and more.
Oh, always a good time talking with you, Matt Dennison. Let's get this party started.
Sounds good to me. IU football, bowl appearance, so much I think is going to come out of the season positive for Indiana. So much already has. I already hear people talking about who's back for next season and the excitement that surrounds this program. And then, of course, I think we all expect some big recruiting successes in addition to people already landed for next year. That will help future IU classes because of the success and the wins and the momentum around this program. But I do think we have to go back and visit the bowl game, at least with you, one more time. A very disappointing way to lose that game for the IU coaches, for the IU players, and, of course, for the fans as well.
Yeah, I mean, the big picture takeaway here, the big picture takeaway is IU, a school, a football team with no tradition really to speak of, went toe-to-toe with Tennessee, an SEC school, a football school with tons of tradition, went toe-to-toe and probably should have won. And that is not a bad thing. Bowl games aren't real. They're fantasy. They're the icing on top of a cupcake. I mean, they aren't real. Obviously, they count. But bowl games are not – this is not March Madness, where if you don't win that thing, your season's over and it sucks. Your season's over either way. It's more like a vacation, and we'll see what kind of what do you have for the future. What we saw in IU, what they have for the future, is a program to go head-to-head with the SEC. That's what we saw. And that's the big picture takeaway. It's got to be, and I just refuse to acknowledge or at least agree with any of the negativity I've been seeing on Twitter about the way they lost. And there goes IU again, can't finish. This is not the time to talk about that.
Greg,
there is one caveat there.
Go ahead. I said go ahead. I cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah, don't do that. I cut you off. You don't cut me off. As people know, the thing about Tom Allen with me, because you got to know who you're listening to, right? When you're hearing someone talk about it, is I've been pretty clear with you all year that I wasn't sure about Tom Allen. I wasn't down on him. Tom Allen's not going to make it here. I never said that, but I've been saying all year. I don't know yet. I kind of know now. I mean, at least I feel like I know. You go ahead, have Tennessee. You had the season you had. You can obviously recruit a program. There's a big picture take of being a college football coach, and the big picture take, he can do it. The small picture part is there's no way up 7 in the last 5 minutes, you don't have your hands team out there for an onside kick. You just don't do it. There's no way you don't do that, but he didn't. I mean, I don't know what the upside is. The upside is, well, if they kick it deep and we've got our hands team out there, our return won't be great. Well, that's okay. You can tolerate a return that's not great. What you can't tolerate is your hands team not being out there and you don't get the outside kick. So that was an egregious error by Tom Allen in that moment. But big picture, I'm on board with him and this program.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, talking IU football to open the segment. And we talked a lot about this stuff heading into the bowl game before we ever knew the result of the game or how the game was going to unfold, that there are so many benefits in going to a bowl game for a college football team. And I felt like it, and I think we discussed this heading right into the Gator Bowl, that I know the Gator Bowl is the Gator Bowl. It's a quality bowl. It's not, you know, the end-all, be-all bowl. It's not the top level of bowls. But it had a much different feel from any bowl game in my time that I can ever remember Indiana participating in. It was in Florida. It was a New Year game. There was no other college football option on television at that time. And again, I go back to the point, it was in Florida where Tom Allen has connections and where Tom Allen has recruited. And I'm sure that Tom Allen and every other football coach in America want to recruit more in Florida. So just had a different feel all the way around. As you talk about the big picture and how this will help the program, I've got to believe that we will continue to see some positives come out of that just appearance, even though it did not equal in a win and there were some crazy moments later in the game that you have to scratch your head and wonder about. I do have to believe as we get into the summer and the off season, that there will be moments we'll look back and say, yep, the Gator Bowl, it helped this team with this or with that. It was definitely an important point for this football program and its movement forward.
Yeah, tradition is so important in this sport, and I think it was last year, last couple years, IU played. They played a bowl game. I think it was at Yankee Stadium, right?
Yes.
And Yankee Stadium, that's a huge venue. It's not the original one, but still, Yankee Stadium's a big. And that bowl game, it didn't matter. That's the Pinstripe Bowl. It wasn't even around 5 years ago. I don't think. I mean, that didn't help anybody. It didn't. It really didn't. Going to a bowl game helped. Going to that bowl game didn't really. I mean, they could have played that game on Mars. It didn't matter. This bowl game at the Gator Bowl, this matters. You know, the Gator Bowl's a dump, and Jacksonville's no destination compared to New York. Well, then again, hell, in December, Jacksonville's a great destination. This matters. And it matters also that they didn't get, you know, and I don't mean to be mean to Purdue, but Purdue last year in the Music City Bowl got just trashed. And going to a bowl game helps you. But I think if you get trashed like that, at best you're breaking even, you might get hurt by that. had – so IU going to the Gator Bowl and losing, I really don't think it matters for recruiting because they went toe-to-toe with Tennessee. I mean, if a recruit wonders, can I go to Tennessee? Can I go to IU and can I play there? Can we compete? Well, they just went head-to-head with Tennessee and almost won. So I think in this one – there are very few cases where a close loss, you know, is a pretty decent thing. This close loss in that bowl game to that program from that conference, it's a good thing.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Let's switch gears, get into basketball. Indiana, had Arkansas at home, I think, since we spoke last, and that was a loss that Indiana let get away from them in the second half of the game. And then at Maryland this past Saturday to open their 2020 portion of their schedule. And, of course, Big Ten games the rest of the way, a 75-59 blowout loss. And to be honest, the game did not even seem that close. Indiana able to make up some ground late in the final minutes of the game to tighten it up just a bit, but still not a great way to open the new year for the basketball Hoosiers and not a great way to reopen Big Ten play with a road loss at Maryland in the fashion that it happened.
Yeah, can't we talk about the really good sports program at IU? It's a football school now. Can't we just keep talking about
– Hey, or IU women's basketball.
Dad, nobody cares about IU basketball. It's a football school.
or IU women's basketball. They're doing great.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It is definitely a women's basketball school. How about them? And baseball, too, for that matter.
Sure.
You know, to real quick segue, Fred Glass has done a great job as AD. And I realize that IU is a basketball school and people don't like where the basketball program is, and he's been in charge of that for quite a while. So in that vein, I get people might not be satisfied with him. I get it. But, man, the money he's raised, the facility improvements he's had, the way so many of these teams are so good, the way he's not tolerated nonsense. Kevin Wilson isn't here anymore because he's not putting up with that. I think Fred Glass ought to be saluted for that. But about IU basketball, you know, that loss to Maryland was a little bit uglier, I guess a lot uglier. I'm remembering a Big Ten loss a couple years ago. I want to say to Illinois, but I don't remember. But it feels like they were down 50 at one point, and Devontae Green went nuts down the stretch and made it close. But it didn't matter. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's what happened here in Maryland. Devontae Green goes nuts down the stretch, and it wasn't close, but it didn't look nearly as ugly as it really was. In both those games, you know, IU quit until the other team said, hey, we've won, we can let up, and then IU came back a little bit. So that's a bad, bad look. You just that should never happen. I mean, it can't happen once. It can't happen twice in a couple of years. It can't happen in a Big Ten game. It just can't happen. But you, with the talent on the floor that IU has, you're down 30, you've quit some way. You found a way to, I guess, put it back together and make it more respectable looking. But there's no other way around that. You just can't, it can't happen that way. It's like flipping a coin 10 times, getting heads. It can't happen. You can't be down 30. But they were. There's only one reason for that. They didn't try very hard. So shame on IU for that. Things like that can be learning tools, and if the players are willing to be coached. I know Archie's going to coach them hard. He's not a soft guy. So we'll see if this lights a fire under them or not. It shouldn't happen in the first place, but you'd like to think that this is going to light a fire under them for the rest of the year.
I know it's still early. I know it's just now January and conference play across college basketball is fully beginning now, you could say. Lots of opportunities ahead. I know there'll be lots of movement in the Big Ten Conference. But I would be lying if I didn't say I was growing concerned with this team based on things that we've seen now since the beginning of the season and how they've let some games in the second half get away from them, how in other games they just simply haven't been competitive. At what point will it be February? Will it be middle of January? At what point will you draw your line where you say, yep, this team may not make the NCAA tournament. This team has some problems. At what point will you kind of judge their NCAA tournament ability and really where this team is at and where they could be headed this season?
They're not going to the tournament, Matt. They're consider it judged. And there's a couple of factors for that. One is they've not shown anything that they can get there. But the other thing is the Big Ten's brutal. I mean, the Big Ten is brutal. Just a couple days ago, I saw on the TV screen watching some game in the league, they showed where the Big Ten teams are in the, I don't know if it was KenPom, I think it was the basketball, the NCAA's rating, NET rating. The Big Ten had 10 teams in the top 50, 10. I think IU was number 51 at that moment, but that was before the Maryland game. I mean, 10 in the top 50. So there are, point of that is there's no easy games. I don't know how this team, which doesn't have a resume yet that looks like a tournament team, based on what they've done so far, how are they going to pull off 4, 5, 6? I mean, really, you got to win about 8 league games. How are they going to do that in this league this year? So you're asking me, when do I say they're done for the season as far as the NCAA tournament? They're done. They're not getting there. I don't think Purdue is either. I mean, how weird is this that the worst two basketball teams in the league might be? I mean, clearly we got 3 months to figure this out. But if we fast forward 3 months and bottom two teams in the league are Purdue and Indiana, at this moment I can say, well, you know, based on what we've seen, sure, that can happen.
Let me take it a step further, and this is a question that I get a lot. We ask fans early in the show to submit questions on social media and otherwise for the show. But if, and this is not, for me at least, not real comfortable to talk about, but what happens at the end of this season if your prediction, and I can't say that I disagree really with what I've seen, if Indiana doesn't make the NCAA tournament, what's the pressure like on Archie Miller at that point, and what could the future look like as far as how long he can maintain the job, continue to be the coach, not getting to the NCAA tournament yet in his career?
Well, you know, I need to write this story because, you know, I love talking to you because I don't think about things really until sometimes you ask me a question and I realize, oh, my gosh. And I'm now realizing, oh, my gosh, the best thing Archie had going for him was Fred Glass, because Fred Glass, A, hired him. Fred Glass needs Archie to succeed, so Fred looks good. And Fred, he's got a track record. He believes in loyalty. He believes in continuity more than anything. He thinks the best way for a program to turn around is not just to blow it up and start over, but to invest more and trust the coaches you hired to turn it around because they're good. Well, IU's about to replace Fred Glass. He's retiring, obviously. And whoever comes in, whoever that is, unless it's Scott Dolson and maybe even him, he's the number two guy, and if they're going to stay within the program, it'll be him. Unless it's him, it's going to be someone who has no connection to Archie at all. And so to answer, and that matters as what we're talking about here, is if IU does go 13-18 or whatever they go, but they're out of the tournament, you know, normally I'd say, look, this is Archie's third year, right? This is third year. It's foolish. Let's not talk about that right now. I don't feel comfortable talking about a guy in his third year. Should there be pressure on? And I'm not saying there should be, but I'm saying with a new AD, there will be. So I don't know what the heat will be like, but if Fred was in town, I'd say there'll be internal heat and there'll be external heat, but there's no good. I mean, he's not in trouble, but with Fred out, I don't know. It's all bets are off.
Yeah. Going to be interesting, or could be a very interesting off season in Bloomington if the no NCAA tournament thing holds true. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing, with us on Tuesdays. Want to close today with this. I know there's been lots of talk about Tom Brady since the Patriots loss about what will his future in football look like. Will he hang it up? Will he retire? Could potentially he go to another team? And, you know, the Colts kind of need a quarterback. I think there's been a little chatter in your city about that.
Yeah, I kind of had that idea myself a couple of days ago and just decided I was, you know, off on Sunday. But I just had the idea when Brady, they lost Saturday night, I guess it was. I think I get the time right. Yeah. And I woke up Sunday morning to all these reports and just talk about, you know, Brady's asked about his future and he doesn't know. Belichick's asked about Brady's future and he won't talk about it. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this really might happen. He might be, because he wants to play till he's 45. He might retire, but he might want to play. The Patriots, they're cold-blooded, might say, you can't play here anymore. If he wants to finish his career somewhere else, well, what teams in the league need a quarterback? Well, I'll be damned. The Colts are one of many that need a quarterback, and the Colts have shown no fear of dealing with the Patriots. They tried to hire Josh McDaniels, that weasel. They look at their quarterback depth chart. They got a Patriots at 1-2, Brissett and Hoyer. So while it's a stretch to think the Colts would sign the guy that cheated them in the AFC title game, and it's a big stretch to think Brady would come here because he'll have options, it's on the table. And so I just wrote that. It's on the table, and I wrote it not like he ought to come, not like he's going to come, not like I want him to come. In fact, I concluded I don't want him to come. But it was more of a thought process, like for Colts fans. How bad do you want a Super Bowl? Do you want it bad enough? Like if you knew right now with Brady, this team is going to go to the Super Bowl, and with Jacoby, the team's going to be 7-9, you'd take Brady if you knew that. And people are telling me no, they wouldn't. But we'll see. I just think it's an interesting idea, if nothing else.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, as always, great stuff, great commentary, great chat, and we'll do it again next week.
Hope so, Matt. See ya.
All right, Greg Doyle with us on Tuesdays. Again, this segment presented by our friends at Coffee Crossing. Do not forget to check out the new Coffee Crossing location. It's their fifth location now here in the area in downtown New Albany, located at 140 East Main Street. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com joins the program. We'll talk more IU basketball. Indiana getting ready for two home games coming up this week. Northwestern on Wednesday, and of course, Ohio State. Another big one for this team on Saturday in Bloomington. We'll talk all of that and more, a little recruiting as well after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back with you here on this Tuesday program, Skyline Chili of New Albany proud to present the Crosstown Showdown game between Jeffersonville and New Albany on Friday evening. Come support your team tonight. It's Jeffersonville Support Night at Skyline Chili in New Albany from 5 to 8 p.m. Thursday night, New Albany Support Night from 5 to 8 p.m. At Skyline in New Albany, located at 3505 Grantline Road. A percentage of the sales on the support nights goes right back to each school. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, unable to join us. He had an emergency pop-up. So in place of him, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star was with me yesterday. Lots about IU basketball coming out of the weekend, the loss to Maryland, and IU football as well with Zach from yesterday. And we're back. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, always with us Mondays on the show as we talk IU basketball and, of course, IU football as well, coming out of the Gator Bowl down in Jacksonville. And, Zach, there's lots to get to. And, unfortunately, as I said at the start of the show, the year 2020, the opening days of the year at least, have not been pleasant for Indiana fans as the football team takes a very difficult loss in the closing minutes of the game to Tennessee in the Gator Bowl. And then, of course, Indiana opens up Big Ten play, or I should say reopens the full slate of Big Ten play in 2020 with a really tough loss, a blowout loss on the road against Maryland.
Yeah, I mean, obviously two results kind of coming from different directions, frankly, maybe two seasons sort of heading in different directions. You know, with football, I think it's possible kind of in the final reckoning to be frustrated with losing the Gator Bowl and particularly the way that Indiana lost the Gator Bowl while also still feeling encouraged, I would say strongly encouraged by the general direction of the program and kind of what is on the horizon for IU football. You know, with basketball, you know, just quite frankly, all of a sudden I think we are talking about, you know, it can be hard because, and I've said this before, Indiana fans, and I say this with as much respect and as love in my heart as I can, but I've been around long enough that I think I can try and be honest with them in a way that maybe I didn't used to feel so comfortable being. Indiana fans can really be prone to panic when it's not necessary, and they can be prone to sort of declaring crisis when there isn't one. You know, in real terms, Indiana's lost two games in a row. Should they have been more competitive at Maryland? Absolutely. Should they have closed out the game against Arkansas at home? Yes, probably. But the season is not out of control. It's not lost. It's not, you know, irretrievable. It's not irreversible. But there are genuine reasons for concern when you start to sort of stack up the way that this team, frankly, has just played against high major opponents over the last month. You know, starting with the trip to Wisconsin, going through, you know, even a game like Notre Dame, which you win, and then obviously these last couple, even Nebraska at home, frankly, I think there were reasons for concern. And so I think it is fair to be deeply concerned by the sudden directional change of this IU basketball season. And I think you can do that without, you know, sort of making zero-sum, unequivocal statements like this season's out of control, it's a complete waste, and you know we're you know it's time to give up on all of it on January 6th.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us talking IU basketball and more. Let's dive into some basketball topics here, ones that stand out to me, and I'm sure that you've noticed or that you've written about already as well. But we know this Indiana program, and I think you have to call it a program, not a team, and maybe not even just Archie Miller, but going back a few years, has struggled at times to shoot the basketball. And I noticed the three-point percentage for this team, I think, over the last number of games, like 22%, which is really just hard to comprehend and hard to understand. Shooting continues to be, once again this season, especially over the last handful of games, a really big challenge for this Indiana team.
Well, and I think, you know, I'd say a couple things in response to that. Sort of in the immediate term, I don't think it's a mistake that Indiana's three-point shooting seems to have sloughed off or maybe even returned sort of to the mean a little bit as Indiana has moved away from Assembly Hall and as Indiana has had to start playing games in neutral venues, road venues, obviously shooting with a different basketball, different things like that. Things that, you know, some people may think aren't a huge deal, but, you know, anybody who will play the game enough will tell you that it does matter. You know, that Wisconsin using a basketball almost nobody else does feel weird to shooters who aren't used to it. And, you know, it is this something that is going to follow Indiana all season? I mean, I wrote, if you want to talk a little bit more sort of longer term or wide lens, I wrote after the game Saturday that it would feel unfair to keep sort of beating Archie Miller with some of the same, you know, losses that he suffered in his first season, but you still see some of the same causes. And one of those is just the inability to fix three-point shooting. He did not inherit a particularly good three-point shooting team. He almost immediately lost a couple of the players that were likely Indiana's most important three-point threats that summer in 2017. But the reality is that Indiana set a program record for three-point shooting woes in 2018. They broke that record last year, and now they're on pace to break it again this year. At some point, stuff like that does have to kind of be assumed by the guy who's been in charge for, you know, 2.5 seasons and who has been in charge of sort of the development of the not just the roster from a recruiting perspective, but also the roster from a day-to-day skills perspective. And I think Archie Miller, you know, has consistently throughout his tenure been someone who, you know, he doesn't bang his fist on the table after frustrating losses. He doesn't throw people under the bus or anything like that. He just tries to sort of wipe it and move on in the way that I think just about any coach would tell you they would like to. But at the same time, while you can understand where kind of his optimism and his sort of, you know, persistent message comes from, you know, at a certain point, it's been 2.5 years, and this problem just hasn't gone away for Indiana, so it's fair to wonder, is it going to go away?
Zach, I was reading your story earlier. You know, Devontae Green, I mentioned 18 points in the game, reviewing things when we started the show today, but he had a number of those points. I think 13 came in the last 3.5 minutes of the game, and Indiana finished, as you wrote in your story, on a 9-0 run in that game at Maryland and still lost by double figures. So when you look at things for this team, I think some very concerning points, and we've covered some of them with shooting and three-point shooting and free throw shooting, et cetera, but obviously this is a team with a lot of things to improve if they're going to make the NCAA tournament. And that's my next question for you. I know that it's crazy to talk about the NCAA tournament in early January, but with how things are and how hungry this fan base is, first and foremost, to get back to the NCAA tournament, you have to start thinking about the Arkansas loss at home and the bad start to conference play and some of the problems that this team does have. I think you think about it in that perspective because you know that, like this Northwestern game right in the middle of Maryland and Ohio State, it's a game really that this team needs to win for their conference win total and to put themselves in a maybe a reasonable position a month or two from now to have a resume and a win total that puts them as a Big Ten team that makes the tournament. I know that we can't talk too much detail about it because we don't know, but I do sense that this is a fan base and a program that moves forward with each win or each loss with the NCAA tournament in the back of their mind based how things have went in recent seasons.
No, I mean, I think it's fair. And again, you know, I'd say I understand why Indiana's fan base is desperate for a winner. I hope this doesn't sound overly self-important. I've been on this beat about as long as anybody who's still on it continuously. I completely understand where this fan base is coming from. I also believe that sort of living and dying with each result is, you know, frankly, kind of dangerous to the health of the program. But the flip side to that is, at a place like Indiana, it shouldn't be so difficult just to make the NCAA tournament. And listen, if the season ended right now, today, I think Indiana's in the tournament. And of course, it doesn't work that way, but if you're just looking at resumes and results, and wins and losses, you know, with what Indiana's done in the non-conference, I think Indiana would be a low seed, but I think they'd be in the tournament. But I think you'd also be fair in looking at, again, about the last, basically everything since Florida State, you know, seeing the offensive struggles against almost everyone but maybe Nebraska, seeing the defensive struggles on the road and in the Big Ten. I think Indiana's either 13th or 14th in the league right now in adjusted defensive efficiency in Big Ten play, specifically according to Ken Pomeroy. And just seeing the way things are trending and looking at last year as well, and I know last year gets a little bit kind of corrupted by injuries and issues like that and the roster just sort of falling apart, but you know, it is fair to wonder whether this team's got the ability to, you know, just sort of get hold of itself. And I think, you know, and I think the headline used the term soul searching. My story maybe even used the term soul searching. Just have a real sort of, I don't know if the word is inquisition of itself or what, but just a real sort of forensic analysis of what it is that makes Indiana a winner, because it feels like too often, you know, just as you watch this team with the naked eye, it puts too much of its self-worth or self-belief or self-confidence in the wrong things. That it you know, this is a team that, and Archie Miller has said this from day one of the season, is going to go as far as it can defend, but it feels like a team that often loses a lot of confidence when it doesn't seem to see the ball go in the basket, and that when things start to snowball, it's because Indiana suddenly can't score or can't hit shots, can't hit open shots, whatever it may be. It's a team that I think can be destructive in the way that it doesn't turn the ball over a lot, but it can turn the ball over in kind of big spurts that can allow opponents to put quick and you know, frankly, morale-sapping runs into Indiana. And it's just a team that feels like it's very easy to take Indiana away from what Indiana should be best at. It can be very hard for Indiana to stay connected. And this is, listen, this is an Archie Miller issue. This is on down through his roster. It's his seniors, his juniors, it's everybody. But it feels like a team where it's very hard sometimes for Indiana to really sort of stay connected to what it should do well and what should be winning at games first and foremost, where winning starts, for lack of a better term. And I just think that you would be fair, if you're an Indiana fan, in being concerned about the long-term course of this season when you see a performance like Maryland.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us Mondays. Good stuff on IU basketball, Zach. Before we let you go, I want to flip back to football again for just a moment. Now that we enter off-season mode for IU football, I think everyone hopes and expects that there will be some good recruiting momentum for this team coming off the season they had, and even the bowl game performance they had that wasn't a win, still some momentum to be had from that. You wrote a story after the Gator Bowl about things Indiana could do to take another step forward. Maybe preview that or overview that or give us the – in your opinion, one of the biggest steps in this offseason Indiana football can take to maybe reach that next level?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a few things, and they're all kind of in the story. But I mean, you know, number one, obviously you got to get healthy at quarterback, and then you got to kind of sort through where that goes. Does Peyton Ramsey want to stay in? You know, is Peyton Ramsey your starter next year? Is it Michael Penix? Do you want another competition? Does Ramsey want to move somewhere else? I don't believe he's graduated yet, so because he wasn't announced with the December graduate. So I would presume even if he wants to graduate transfer, and we haven't asked him about that beyond, you know, kind of near the beginning of the bowl cycle. We just said, you know, is it something you've thought about? He said, I'm not thinking past the bowl at all. That's the only thing I'm worried about. But even if he wanted to do it, I believe he would have to ride through the spring semester with Indiana. You've got to get an offensive coordinator. I think some of it is certainly that you just keep committing to the developmental stuff. You know, I mean, it's boring, and a lot of it happens when nobody's paying attention to football, especially, and I'm not trying to be flippant, but at a place like Indiana where, you know, the football off season tends to be very quiet. But look at what the commitment to, you know, David Ballou and Matt Ray has done for Indiana thus far. Look at the way that young players have improved. Look at the way the defense has gotten better. Look at the way the offensive line continues to get better. That stuff you just have to keep committing to. The more that gap between you and, you know, the teams you want to beat closes. I think the other thing, too, that I would say that wasn't, and I don't know if it's something necessarily Indiana does this off season specifically, or it's just something Indiana kind of carries forward more generally. I didn't really talk about it in that story, but I've mentioned it when people have asked since. I think the bowl is a potentially good thing for Indiana as well, if Indiana kind of uses it as a lesson for essentially how big programs behave. And I know that's a very...
And again, Zach Osterman from Monday's program, Mike Pegram, emergency unable to join us today. That will wrap things up for this Tuesday program. Back with you Wednesday. Joining us on Wednesday, we have Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. Also, Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, as we talk local sports. And again, get ready for that big New Albany Jeff game on Friday night. Have a great Tuesday. Talk with you tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.